Hi, I'm Richard Evans from EMC Arts. Here on the Arts Forward podcast, we explore the challenges facing the arts sector right now to do things differently, to do things they've never done before. Each month, we look at stories of experimentation and success from innovative arts organizations across the country. Today, we're exploring the team roles performed by individuals. We found in our work that taking a closer look at how teams function can be really valuable. The range of team role preferences that people have can be used to make sure you have a really successful team when you approach doing an innovation. So we've been using this tool called the Belbin Team Role Analysis, which helps team members understand the roles they prefer to play, the approaches they prefer to take to getting work done in teams. I'm pleased to welcome three members from a very significant team at the Cleveland Orchestra to talk about their experience with the tool. Chief Marketing Officer Ross Binney, Director of Sales Julie Stapf, and Patron Systems Manager Adrian Smith. Hello to all of you.
Hello, Richard.
So, Ross, you took this Belbin analysis with a team of how many people?
There was 15 of us in our sales and marketing and communication teams.
And what's the range of work that that 15-member team does?
Well, the bottom line for all of us is to pull together to sell as many tickets as we can and create as many stories about the Cleveland Orchestra as we can to as many people as we can.
What's your understanding, Ross, of what Belbin means by a team role?
So some people like to lead, and some people like to finish, and some people like to do the research, and all these things need to come together to make sure you can take an idea and put it to market, if you like.
Belbin defines 9 different roles that seem to occur consistently in the way that people approach work. And in this tool, he asks you a series of questions to determine which you most prefer and least prefer to play. I think it's important to note it's not a personality test. Any individual can play any of the roles, and preferences can change over time. But in general, we do prefer to play some roles over others. Julie, what were you expecting from this?
Well, I wasn't really quite sure what to expect because I've taken, you know, as you referred to, Richard, a lot of these personality type of examinations before, but I hadn't really taken one that examined the team. So I was actually very excited and interested. And as a director in the department, you know, I work with Ross and other senior people within the organization, but I also have direct reports. So I have a particular interest in really knowing how people fit together and how their skills fit together, not just the practical skills, but the communication skills, the teamwork skills.
Well, let's plunge a bit into the results for each of you. I really want to hear a bit about your most preferred roles and perhaps the one that turned out to be, at least in this administration, your least preferred role. Ross, why don't you go first? What were your two most preferred roles?
The two most preferred for me was the plant, which was extremely high on the preferred roles.
And how would you describe that role, Ross?
It's someone who appears to be creative, imaginative, unorthodox. I like to solve difficult problems. I like challenges. I like change.
You're an ideas man.
I'm an ideas man and probably a very annoying one to people who... to people who want some consistency and something more plodding, perhaps. I do potentially have a habit of coming back at the last minute and saying, has anyone thought about doing this and changing direction completely?
Ah, yes. I know. I'm a plant myself in that team role, Ross, and I know that if you come in at the 11th hour and saying, oh, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
Yes, you don't always get a welcome, right?
I'm trying to. One of the outcomes of the Belbin is I accept that as a personality flaw in a team role and try and leave them to do their job. So
I'm not going to allow you to say it's a personality flaw. We know this is not about personalities.
Okay.
you can do all of these roles, right? You just
it's
have some
preference.
Preferences.
It's a preference. I'm sorry, but yeah. I am much better moving the ball up the field and trying to keep ahead and letting others do what they do best, which is much more detailed work, much more thorough. I would be perhaps the worst proofer on the planet because of that.
That reminds me of your least preferred role. Tell us a little bit about that, right?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, that was a nice segue there, Ross. Thank you.
The least is the completer finisher, someone who prefers to painstakingly, conscientiously, and anxiously drive out errors and make sure everything is completely detailed, which at the Cleveland Orchestra is an essential component of our daily work.
But don't bring in Ross Binney for that one.
Do not ask Ross Binney to sit there and go through line by line about the particular opus and all the spelling mistakes.
Right. Let's turn to Julie. What were your two top preferences?
Well, mine came out as monitor evaluator and shaper, which
explain those to
take
us.
Well, to take Ross's football analogy another step is while he's moving the ball up and down the field, I'm apparently the guy on the sideline standing there with the chalkboard and the playbook, and working with the team to coach everybody about how we are getting from point A to point B. And
I think we've learned that's pretty important, because otherwise Ross would be all over the field, right?
He would.
But I notice your second highest preference was for what Belbin calls the shaper, the role of someone who likes to drive forward the action and thrives under pressure and goes for, likes risk. You're somebody who likes to move the strategic conversation forward.
Yeah, yes, that's very true. And again, I wasn't really very surprised to see that, because I suppose, similar to Ross, I do like to challenge the group. And frankly, I also challenge him. When he walks back into the room, as you said, Richard, with the "have you thought about?" And I'm the one quite often who will either say, "That's fantastic, and we haven't thought of that," or, "I'm not really sure that's appropriate in this situation."
Right. It's one of those characteristics of the monitor evaluator role to look objectively at alternatives and make sure that you're taking an action with a really cool and careful look at alternatives and not just being swayed by the feelings of the people in the room.
Also, but to work with the team to sort of drive them to achieve and keep their eye on the goal, on the right end result. So that's where the shaper comes in.
Yours was a very different profile from Ross's. He was saying there were hardly any roles in that middle area of sort of mild preference, and you could do that if you were called upon. But you have the great majority, actually, in that area.
Yeah, to see my skills sort of aligning really very much in that manageable roles area was sort of funny. But I do have to say, though, that in the end, we have a chart that explains your strengths and your weaknesses and what under the possible weaknesses. I have none, and I've been very proud about that.
That's right. I noticed that in your report that maybe because you must have a lot of flexibility in the kind of roles that you can take on, and you're not somebody who will push away from a certain kind of work. So if that's a surprise, that's an interesting one. You do have one that's lowest, I think.
Yes, specialist. And I completely agree with that one, too, because I do like to be a person who is involved in all aspects of what the team is doing. I don't really tend to want to compartmentalize myself or to really be restricted in the particular work that I'm doing or the roles that I'm playing. I do like to be in the middle of it all.
And Belbin's specialist, I think, is about someone whose preference is to focus on a really narrow kind of input to the team, who knows probably more about that than anyone else, but can really only contribute in that narrow realm.
Yes, that's right.
And let me, Julie, just follow up with one other question. You mentioned having done some other tests and all that on a personality basis, like Myers-Briggs and so on.
Mm-hmm.
What made this, if anything, different and from those kinds of tests, or more than just a gimmick?
Well, it gave you a different perspective, a different view. Ironically, Ross and I have the same Myers-Briggs personality type. But then when you look at the Belbin, we're opposites. So that, is, I think, much more illustrative in some ways. I think the personality types are certainly very valuable. When you're looking at yourself and how in your own personality, but it doesn't necessarily explain to you how you work.
Yeah, let's turn to Adrian then. What about your top two preferences from this report?
Yes. So my top two preferences have both been talked about. Ah. My first was monitor evaluator, and my second is plant.
Right.
So I've matched up with Julie and Ross there. I think sort of by definition in my role in our group of 15, I am the evaluator. So the monitor evaluator makes perfect sense. You know, I evaluate the data. And as a mathematician, I go to the numbers. So whether, you know, someone feels passionately about one thing or one idea, for me, seeing all options equally and accurately, you know, that lines up to my job
and
math and
you
numbers.
Fit well with your preference there to a data-based kind of role. Yeah. Yeah. The three of you had, as you say, some overlapping strong preferences and, of course, some differences. What about when you debriefed as a whole team of 15? Did you find anything different? Were there noticeable gaps or any other things that you learned from looking at the whole team? Ross?
I think we had less in the coordinator category.
That was your lowest as a team, I noticed, yes.
Absolutely the lowest as a team. And I think I have that is one of the highest of my preferences. So at least it's there somewhat. But I don't. That to me was a little bit of a surprise. What wasn't a surprise so much was that we skewed quite so radically between the sort of plants, which were our number one, which is a little scary, and the we have people who are the team workers, the implementers, and the completer finishers, which is the old school Cleveland Orchestra kind of staffing style. So I think it sort of showed up what we did have, and it also showed up sort of where we would potential pitfalls of a team is essentially teamwork, where we can all get very siloed in how we behave.
What about any things you heard from other team members other than the three of you? Did you hear anything that surprised you or added to your sense of what you can do with this?
When we were going through the assessment and the breakdown and having it presented to the team, there was a general sense of, oh, okay, yes, now I get why we're all like this.
Right.
It sort of reinforced exactly.
Yeah.
It was amazing to me how it appeared to be accurate. There was a great moment with Julie specifically, because when I saw mine was skewing so to the left and to the right of this form, to see her right down the middle in all the categories I'm not. It's the yin to my yang in sense of making this thing work, and it's one of the reasons we brought her over here, someone that can push the project through and keep the plant at bay in a certain sense. And you know, that was a great surprise. And actually, one of the next things we should do as a group is have people assess each other rather than do the self-assessments, which may be a further interesting layer as far as I'm concerned. But I didn't have any other big surprises. Did anyone else have?
I think one surprise for me in looking at everyone's results was that where does leadership and ideas, where does it live within the team? And sometimes, you know, it just wasn't in exactly maybe the place that we were looking for. It made us maybe a little more aware of some of our newer, younger, maybe, you know, quote unquote, less formed employees who we really should be looking to for ideas. Right at the time that we took this Belbin test, we had strategically broken down into a series of small task forces where we were working on particular strategic issues that the department is facing in our next season. And we were able to look at those groups where when we had designed those teams, we had really looked at the skill level and people had been assigned accordingly. And then when we went back and we looked at our group after we'd taken the Belbin, we really came to a realization that our teams were not evenly weighted in terms of having people who were you know, plants versus implementers.
Yes.
Versus all the different roles. So we had teams where we had it was just idea people, and then we all realized, you know what, this team is probably doesn't have a really good chance of implementing anything that they come up with.
It's so interesting that, Julie, because I think that goes right back to Belbin's original question, which is why is it that different groups of people who are tremendously well qualified and intelligent do well in some situations, and similar groups of people do really badly. And it's, I think the discovery in all his years of research over, 20 and more years was that it's less about skills and personality, and it's an awful lot more about the balance of the team roles and whether or not the team therefore can function effectively, as you say, from the beginning of the project all the way through to implementation. So are you going to make any changes to those teams, or how are you going to deal with that those lopsidedness?
We did make some changes. One was dissolved. I think for me the way we will use this information to make changes is to not necessarily have one team for the whole job, if you like, have different stages and people dropping in and out. There are meetings that I can tell, department meetings, where there are people whose personalities now come across on these pages to me, who have no interest in the brainstorming phase whatsoever, but are essential to making sure that we complete the job. And I think the way we will change our team, our SWAT teams on various projects, is we will drop people in and out to be the most effective we can be.
Ross Binney is the chief marketing officer of the Cleveland Orchestra. Julie Stapf is their director of sales. And Adrian Smith is the patron systems manager. Thanks to you all for joining me.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This is the monthly Arts Forward podcast. You can check out more on our website that features multimedia profiles of innovative organizations, a blog, and this podcast series, as well as much more, on artsforward.org, www.artsfwd.org. I'm Richard Evans of EMC Arts in New York.